If there's anything you want to know about the Patriots, well, our next guest is the guy to turn to, the assistant editor of Patriots Football Weekly, Patriots.com, co-host of PFW In Progress, and just a general all-time super genius when it comes to New England Patriots football. It's Andy Hart joining us. Hi, Andy.
Good afternoon, and thank you for that very, very impressive introduction. I like it. I got to start bringing you on the road with me, and I'll just have you introduce me everywhere.
I am happy to do that. I will be your sidekick always. Now, before we get to the football talk, I did want to mention, too, I hope it's not a sore subject. You were, of course, as you remember, the runner-up in our Downtown Madness competition last year, the second most popular guest we had from the hundreds that were with us last year, losing to Bryan Cranston. Cranston's back on the show next Thursday to talk about his new movie, if you want to call in and heckle.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I just have to bow down to him. As you know, as Ricky Bobby said in Talladega Nights, second place is first loser. So I'm a loser like all the rest.
Yeah, but you can hold it over all those other Boston guys that you crush them.
That's right. Let's remember the good.
Because you're going to see them. You're not going to see Cranston.
That's right. Yeah, I don't really run in the same circle.
Only on the radio, right?
That's right. Yep. I guess we're together in at least one place.
There you go. Well, let's talk about the Patriots and what's going on. The injury done for the season. Dont'a Hightower getting a little thin there at linebacker.
Yeah, no question. And you know, it's a blow not just on the field, where we've seen they have issues, they have depth issues, but I'm just as concerned as what's going to take place in terms of leadership. I think he's a guy that, you know, on this team, he's the guy that's not afraid to sort of yell at people or bring it all together. And, you know, you still have leaders. I'm not going to say that Devin McCourty or Daron Harmon or those guys on defense aren't leaders, but they lead in a different way. They lead by example. And I think Hightower's a guy that, you know, could do the Vince Wilfork thing, sort of the Willie McGinnis thing, and kick somebody in the butt if they needed kicking in the butt. And then in terms of on-field, obviously we've seen it. I mean, the last two Super Bowls, that guy made game-changing plays. You probably don't have two Super Bowl rings without him, and that clutch factor and that ability to be on the field when he was needed most late in the year, even though he dealt with previous injuries. So, yeah, they're going to have to find a way in that front. I mean, has some other injuries. Malcolm Brown is going to miss this week's game with an ankle injury. They're obviously already playing with guys like Cassius Marsh and David Harris in sort of increased roles. So they need to prove they can pull it all together. It's going to be a challenge for not just the players, but I would say Matt Patricia and Bill Belichick.
And you wrote that a guy like Alan Branch may end up being the key to the Patriot run defense this week.
Yeah, no question. You don't have a lot of guys that you can lean on in there. And it's funny because he's a guy that, you know, just a couple weeks ago was a healthy scratch and people were wondering what was his role. Was he in the doghouse? He's come back and he's played well since then. And I think you're going to need him to do that because the San Diego, that's the first time, the L.A. Chargers, they want to run the football with Melvin Gordon. You know, that's part of their plan. And he hasn't run great. He's at like 3.4 yards per carry. But they want to run the football. And then, you know, stay in third and short and let Phillip Rivers throw to Hunter Henry or Gates or Keenan Allen on third down. So they're going to come in and try to establish the run. And with Hightower out and a Landon Roberts banged up and Malcolm Brown out, I think you need the veteran Alan Branch to come up big for you this week.
Does the call go out to Rob Ninkovich?
You know, that's interesting. He's poo-pooed it, but he's also admitted that, you know, he sort of talked about it enough to know that it's kind of enticing to him. And I can't imagine how it wouldn't be. You know, everybody wants to be needed. And he probably, early in retirement, we hear people in any aspect of life, never mind sports or football, you know, they admit that they miss it a little bit or have that itch. I don't think he's going to come back. And I'm not sure what he'd be able to offer on the field. I'd love to see him come back as a leader. You know, what I started with, I think the leadership loss is huge. And I think Rob Ninkovich would help fill that void. But on the field, I think he, you know, was showing his age last year, the last couple of years. His production had diminished. Would he be equivalent to some of these guys? Maybe just based on experience, you know, getting by on experience as much as anything. But he admitted when he retired that, you know, he couldn't sort of lie to his body anymore. And I just, you know, a guy can stay in shape and go to the gym a lot. That doesn't mean he's ready to play in an NFL game. So I have my doubts as to whether he's a legitimate option at this point. But, you know, if they get desperate enough, maybe he will be.
Secondary looked pretty good last week. But when I hear people say, well, the secondary's better without Gilmore back there, that seems like a stretch to me.
It does. And, you know, you had Jonathan Jones, a second-year undrafted player, and Johnson Batamosi, a sixth-year, basically special teamer, former undrafted guy out there. And they were getting the job done. And, you know, we saw the communication was better, whatever you want to call it. There weren't runaway receivers, guys uncovered running across the field. But I still find it hard to believe that you're better off without two of your top three corners, because Eric Rowe's been out too. So to just say that the problem was two of your more talented players and you're better off with lesser talents out there, I don't necessarily think that's the case. But that's a challenge that those guys face, is sort of getting reacclimated with this defense. And I think you'll get Gilmore back this week. And if we start to see guys running uncovered or Gilmore running in the wrong direction, you're right. The fan base is going to start to really wonder what the heck is going on, because I've seen those tweets and heard those emails and everything already. So I do. I think you're better with a talented player. I think you're always better with more talented players. But Gilmore needs to prove that he can fit in with this secondary and not look like it did against Carolina when it was hellacious.
Andy Hart of Patriots Football Weekly with us here on Downtown. Offensively, the Patriots have got to be concerned with that tough rush from L.A. You got guys like Joey Bosa, Chris McCain up there. That's going to put some pressure. And obviously, the Patriots want to avoid getting in those predictable third and long situations.
Yeah, no question. That was the talking point all week, from Bill Belichick to Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski. Pretty much everybody that talked had a press conference. Certainly offensive players talked about Bosa, Melvin Ingram. I think Belichick called it a special group of pass rushers, because, you know, a lot of teams have one great pass rusher, a guy with, you know, 8, 9, 10 sacks. Not too many teams have two of them, and that's what they have. You know, I think they have 16 sacks between them. The San Diego pass rush as a group, I think, is fourth in the NFL in sacks per pass play. So this is a pretty legit front, and you know, you see some of the highlights. From a week ago against Denver, there was one hellacious hit that Ingram put on Trevor Siemian that just, you know, that he got a penalty, actually, and I think the penalty was basically he hit the guy too hard. You're not supposed to hit quarterbacks hard anymore, but that's the scary part of this Chargers team, is we've seen the Patriots have some issues in pass protection. It's been better in recent weeks, but you still had a runaway rusher last week with the strip sack on Tom Brady, forced the fumble. You can't keep having those, and, you know, Bosa and Ingram do that to a lot of teams. So, and then the other aspect is Marcus Cannon pops up on the injury report late in the week with an ankle injury again. So, you know, we already wonder how good those tackles have been and how capable they are against these elite rushers. And then, you know, one of them might be dealing with a little something on the right side there. So it's a major challenge for Nate Solder and Marcus Cannon and the rest of that front. But I also think, you know, Brady said, I got to get rid of the ball fast this week. And you might need the backs to stay in. You might need Rob Gronkowski to help out. Because we know if you're going to beat the Patriots, more often than not, you put pressure on Tom Brady and hit Tom Brady. And the more that happens, not only the worse news it is for the game at hand, this individual game, but, you know, that takes a toll as the season wears on. So, yeah, priority number one for the offense is to block Bosa and Ingram and the rest of those rushers.
162 rushing yards last week, and that was certainly crucial for them. Is that going to be part of the game plan again, to get out there and utilize the ground game more?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it is. You know, talking to Nate Solder recently, he emphasized how nice it is, A, to run the ball, that they like to run the ball, but B, it does take a little bit of the wind out of the sails of those pass rushers when you run right at them. And I would include the screen game in that. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, they haven't been a huge running back screen team lately. I wouldn't be surprised to see some screens, try to take advantage, see if you can get Bosa and Ingram to get upfield, and then, you know, you just drop it right over the top of them for those what can be frustrating plays for a defensive front. But you're right, a season high in rushing yards. I thought that was part of how they controlled the game. They built a lead there in the second quarter against the Falcons and then sort of just ran the game out, controlled it in the second half. Deion Lewis has really come on of late. I think it's 3 or 4 straight weeks he's seen an increase in yards and carries, and I think has really made a bid to kind of get back to that role he had early in 2015 before he tore the ACL as the primary back, the lead back. And, you know, he can be out there for extended periods as both a runner and a pass catcher. And, you know, that brought a unique dimension to that offense, as opposed to, you know, Mike Gillisley's out there on early downs, or LeGarrette Blount last year was out there on early downs, and then you go to later downs and it's Deion Lewis or James White. If you can keep one back on the field more often and run the ball out of it successfully,
even in traditional sets with a fullback in between the tackles with a guy like Deion Lewis, I think that makes that offense harder to defend. So, yeah, I think they want to run the ball. They'll keep everybody involved, but I think you might continue to see Deion Lewis be the top dog.
Last week, Brady did a good job of spreading it around a number of different receivers. Are they still sort of figuring out the pecking order here in the post-Edelman world?
Yeah, you know, Edelman was a guy that basically every year you were going to throw him 130 passes, and he would catch somewhere between 90 and 110 of those or whatever it was. When you change those targets the way they have to, because, you know, Danny Amendola sort of replicates the Edelman role, but A, his health is always an issue. I'm not sure you can throw it to him that often. And B, he's not quite the same receiver. So now you're sort of divvying up those 130 targets, and you don't have a player in that role that can run those quick slants and option routes and things that Edelman did. So you've had to go down the field more, and part of that is because you have weapons that go down the field with Brandon Cooks and Rob Gronkowski and even Chris Hogan to some degree. And then you've really seen James White evolve into the leading receiver on this team, and not in the same way that Edelman would, but, you know, those dump-off passes and quick little throws that are sort of like runs, but they're part of the passing game. And, yeah, you know, Brady talked about it. He's happy. He doesn't seem upset in any way at the evolution of the offense. He likes the way these guys work for him, and I think he is still getting more comfortable. And I think you've seen Cook is a better player down the field. He hasn't had a lot of success on the short throws, the quick slants and in cuts. I don't know that that's the strength of his game. I think he's better beating guys down the field in the intermediate and deep routes. So, it's an evolution without Edelman, and I think that makes sense when you lose essentially, I don't know, a third of where your targets normally usually go.
Andy Hart, Patriots Football Weekly, getting us ready for the L.A. Chargers. I've forgotten it about 11 times this week myself. Well, apparently most of the fans in L.A. have forgotten, too.
Yeah, they're a very forgettable team right now. I think everybody keeps calling them San Diego. They might be better off going back to San Diego in the long run and trying to get that fan base down there going again.
All right. Well, Andy, we appreciate you making time for us here so close to game time, and we'll check in with you again very soon. Enjoy the game.
Okay, and tell Brian Cranston I'm coming for him. Next year, I'm kicking his ass.
All right. The gauntlet has been thrown down. Walter White's in trouble. Thanks, Andy.
That's right.
See ya. It's Andy Hart here on Downtown.